Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, in his classic book on friendship, the Roman orator Cicero ranked it as second only to wisdom as the greatest gift of the gods, better than riches, health, power, honour, and sensual pleasure. The 12th century monk Allred wrote his own little book on friendship, describing it as a sublime gift of God. Anyone who has tasted something of the quality that friendship can offer knows there is something divine about it. But that doesn't make it any easier to achieve. In fact, friendship may be more needed now than ever, yet it may also be more difficult to get now than ever. Cara Martin is normally our book critic. Now, tonight she's actually our resident scholar. When I read her master's dissertation on friendship, I knew she just had to jump on air and share it with the world. Hi, Cara.
Greetings, Sheridan.
This has been a few months in the making, in fact, probably a few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I've probably been thinking about this for about 10 years.
10 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't take you that long to write the 15,000 words, I hope.
But, no.
certainly the reflection has been happening there for the last decade or so. So you have looked at Cicero and then this little known monk from the 12th century, Allred, who took his thoughts. And kind of in between those two figures, you've kind of really spanned the history of thinking about friendship. Now, it's something that it's almost like fish don't know where they're wet. You know, when it's something so much around us, even if we don't have it, we don't have quality friendship, often we don't stop to actually think about it in any depth, which is just wonderful. It must have been a great project for you.
Yeah, it was. And it actually happened because we had this lecture series that we were running, The Bible on Sex, Money and Friendship, and they sort of threw friendship in there because they needed a third thing.
Just and, to sound good, hey?
And then when the lecturer came to do it, he said, oh, gee, I'm not sure how to run this part. And I was helping out on this series, and he said, you take that part. So I suddenly had this crash course, and and I was thinking, gosh, this is a topic, like you say, that I've always been interested in. I think I like friends and I like getting friendships, but I hadn't really thought about the biblical aspects of it.
Yes,
so
yes.
Started to explore it.
So you start with Cicero. Let's talk about Cicero, and because his work is quite significant then later on. So the great orator that, of course, everybody knows, what in the 40s and 50s BC. So he's been around for a long time and his words have been around for a long time. Tell me about his thoughts on friendship.
Well, he was actually really interested in friendship because at the time, friendship was the most dominant relationship in society. Now, we're so used to family being the dominant relationship, we can't imagine a time before that. But actually, friendship was so significant at that time because it was the development from the Greeks of the idea of democracy. And democracy really depended on people being good and making good decisions. And the way that they encouraged that was actually through friendship. So Cicero, in his writing of that essay, it was actually at the time when the Roman Empire was beginning to get into a lot of trouble. There was a bit of emperor worship and bad things were happening. And his great concern was to actually say, look, we've got to go back to the fundamental thing, which is friendship. Instead of this flattery, which is the antithesis of real friendship, we've got to be real with each other, encourage each other to do the right thing and the good thing. And so that was his great concern. So in lots of ways, friendship was tied up with politics and was also tied up with status as well.
Yeah.
But in essence, Cicero was saying two things, I guess, that are really familiar to us, but we wouldn't think of them as related to him. He said that friendship was about having the same mind and being one in spirit. Now, those are things that we read in the Bible but don't realise that they're actually Cicero's ideas about what friendship was about.
Very interesting. Now, before we get to Allred, the 12th century monk who you love now, because of his thoughts, what he took from Cicero and then kind of developed biblically, let's talk about friendship today. You've done a lot of reflection and thinking about friendship today. I read somewhere, it was some sort of research that suggested that this generation has got fewer close confidants than other generations in the past. In fact, probably the smallest number ever, which I think is fascinating for our conversation tonight, where, you know, it might be that friendship is needing to be rediscovered because we just don't know how to do it anymore.
Yeah, and that's the big irony. We probably have the biggest network of friends of any other society in history, but there's really this trend down in close, intimate friendships. So a study in the US recently said that people in their 30s have about half the number of close friends of the previous generation. It's down to about two people that you can really unburden yourself to totally and be natural with.
Despite all of the tools that we have to actually be connected. In fact, I pulled a quote out of your master's thesis, which I just thought was amazing. John Freeman said this, "Never before has so much been communicated and so little revealed."
Absolutely. And that's really the trend of modern friendship. We're so connected now and we have so many means of communicating with other people. And yet we actually don't reveal much of the deep parts of ourselves. And part of the problem with that is a lot of our connections are not done face-to-face. If I'm sitting across from you as I am now face-to-face, you can see my face. You can sense when something not real is coming out of me.
I can see your tears right now.
My tears of sincerity. But when you're online, it's very hard to read what the other person is saying or how they're saying, or even to sort of work out when someone is actually not actually revealing the true part of themselves. So many people are saying, especially with Facebook, that we've actually moved into the generation of the new narcissism, where you can actually pretend to be whatever you want to be and people can't actually tell. And I've actually heard of people who have knowingly presented the persona that they want to on Facebook or other social media because it's an opportunity for them to explore what it would be like to be a slightly different person.
Which is so telling in itself, isn't it? If I was somebody else, would my life be different?
Right, and you can actually explore that.
And this idea also you bring out of the paper that perhaps we're moving back into the era of a Cicero world where maybe friendship is going to be more important then because of the breakdown of families.
That's right. Sociologists are saying friendship is becoming an increasingly important part of our lives because, there's this breakdown of families and there's also this delay in marriage. So you're getting people in their 20s and their early 30s where friends are really important to them as they sort out their identity, as they make decisions. The fundamental glue of the relationships they have is friendship. And so that friendship is becoming a very significant thing. Bernard Salt, the Australian sociologist, actually suggests that in the future, not only will friends begin purchasing houses together and making economic decisions together, but that friends may actually replace children. He makes the point that they're cleaner, they're less hassle, they're less expensive, and you can also say goodnight to them when you want to go to bed and get a good sleep. So they're much more convenient.
Well, that's interesting. Very interesting. We were talking to Cara Martin. She's done this master's research in friendship. Lines are always open for your comment too, 1-300-40-2020. You hang on for a sec. Want to get to with this 12th century monk in just a minute. Don't go away. This is Open House. We're talking about friendship with Cara Martin, normally our book critic, tonight our resident scholar. She's spent a decade thinking about this idea of friendship and tracing it from Cicero to Allred to biblical teaching on it. And here she is to dispense her wisdom with us. So we've talked about Cicero, talked about the current state of friendship in society today. Now, Allred, 12th century monk, who I think I've heard of him in passing, but I haven't heard much about him. He took Cicero's book and then kind of said, well, here's the Bible, here's Cicero. Let's put them together and see what we can get.
Absolutely. And he was a 12th century monk, Cistercian Abbey in northern England, and he wanted to come up with an idea of relationship that would really work in the abbey. Before then, there'd been this sort of sense of monks as brothers, but he thought that friendship might have something more to offer them as an opportunity, an idea of relationship. And so he started writing this book, and his idea of friendship is really about creating the ideal community. And his fundamental idea, the way he starts off his book, is that in a friendship there's you and me and there's Jesus who's here with us as well. And that actually changes the whole idea of friendship as well. So instantly he's introducing this concept of friendship as having an opportunity for spiritual direction and spiritual growth. And that was the element that he wanted, that friendship is not just something about, you know, us liking each other or whatever, but actually part of us being friends is me wanting you to be the best that you can be, you reaching all the potential you have and you doing the same for me.
Yes, it's not just about like-minded, as Cicero was about. Because I was wondering how that would always work. If friendship is always based on you and I always having exactly the same thoughts and beliefs and ideas, I'm not too sure how that would work out in practice long-term anyway.
That's right. In fact, Allred said, you know, we should be able to feel comfortable enough with each other. And because we're focused on the best, we should be able to say, I'm sorry, but I really think that what you're doing here is not the best thing for you. It's not the best thing for our friendship. And so it's sort of like this correction, but correction with love.
Yes. Mm. Now, you also quote in your paper on this about how that third party, that's never the two of us. It's never just the two of us. It's always Christ coming in and being the third member of this friendship. That external focus actually means that friendship can be more enriched anyway, can't it? Because the fact that we're actually looking outside, you've quoted philosophers and things that actually say just having that external focus.
Well, Sartre is the one who said that friendship can only flourish among those who orient their intentionalities to something higher and beyond the individual self, because it's got to go beyond this rampant individualism in our society. If I'm only focused on myself, I can never be a really good friend. And that's where Christians have this fantastic advantage, because we're partly oriented towards God. We're actually freed up to look beyond ourselves, to look at the other person and really value what we see in them and then work to increase that potential.
Yes, it's a different goal, because Cicero was all about the benefit of the political state of Greece at the time, whereas this is actually how can you be more godly, how can I be more godly? I love it. All right. So where does this leave the Christian church today then when it comes to opportunities, when we've already talked about the dearth of friendship we actually have today?
Well, I think the biblical concepts of friendship, taking Cicero and then sort of taking it a bit further and Jesus' own dynamic example, there's actually an element of choice in friendship. That's what makes friendship different. We actually choose who our friends are. But I think the church can be a bit broader in its idea of who it chooses to be its friends. And then friendship is all about reciprocity. I do something for you, you do something to me. That's a typical part of friendship. But Christians are actually concerned not just about being reciprocal, but actually being caring and loving. And the third element is intimacy. And this is, I think, one of the basic needs that we have is for intimacy. And in the Bible, we realize that intimacy is all about knowing and being known. And that's what people really deeply desire. Mm. And that's what friendship can actually provide, a safe place where you can be known and you can also get to know other people. I think that part of this is about reaching out to the lonely people around. I saw earlier this month Australian Bureau of Statistics survey that says that in the next 25 years, we're going to have a 91% increase in the number of Australians living alone. As people get older, as marriages break down, 91% increase of households consisting of one.
Yeah.
There's a huge potential of lonely people out there.
I did some similar research for a speaking engagement last year, and from memory, the ABS statistics on single-person households, I think it's actually now currently the largest household type in Australia anyway, and the fastest growing, but I didn't know about the 91% increase.
Yeah, it's growing faster than they even predicted before.
I wonder how that will work out then with the other suggestion that you had there from Bernard Saltz, that we'll start buying houses together and we'll obviously time will tell.
Yes.
But obviously there'll be a time where we just start to really feel our lack of proximity to other people. With your research on friendship, did you come up with any little practical ideas to enrich friendship and actually to even start it, because it can be very difficult?
Yeah, it can be. I guess Alred himself doesn't actually speak to that so much, because he had this sort of locked-in community.
Yes, which, you had to be friends.
When you're in an abbey,
you
don't have much choice, But he has a lot to say about what it means to be a good friend, and he says that friendship is about an openness, a preparedness to be intimate, about goodness, about creativity, and a willingness to stay close. So maybe if we start to cultivate those sort of things and enjoy those sort of things, we may be friendlier to people and people may respond to us in those ways. What he also did, which I think is very helpful, is started to define false friendships. He had two categories of false friendships. The first one is the idea of a material or worldly friendship, and that's when I am friends with you because of what I can get out of it for myself. And those friendships tend not to last, but I think it's actually quite a characteristic relationship in our society that people call other people friends because there's something they can get out of that friendship. The other slightly dangerous friendship he talked about was carnal friendship, which he said was about pleasure seeking. Mm. And once again, I think that's probably a really common friendship around there. And he said if a friendship is only based around fun and enjoying things, then it's not going to last. And if it doesn't last, then you have to ask, was it really friendship in the first place?
Well, we've got at the extreme end, we've got that horrible phrase, and I hate even to say it, but the whole friends with benefits thing. You know, if that is not what Aldred was talking about, he's probably talking at the mild end, wasn't he? Just simply, you know, a pleasure playing sport together or something. But if that is not the quintessential ultimate exaggeration of that, you can see that obviously there's no true rich friendship at the heart of that.
He also did this thing which I think is quite revolutionary. He did a couple of things with the Bible which is quite different to what people normally do. For example, he took the story in Genesis of God looking at Adam, who was there with the animals, and saying, you know, it's not good for Adam to be alone. So he took out the rib from Adam and he created Eve. Now, most people would say, well, that was the beginning of marriage. Aldred actually says that's the beginning of friendship. Because what he's saying is that's the beginning of recognition that we have a basic need for companionship and assistance, and that can be met in friendship. And the other thing he says is look at basically the other end of the Bible where John in one of his letters is talking about God is love. And Aldred actually says, well, God is friendship. And that takes... I think that's helpful because today love is, you know, a really intangible term in some ways. We say love about so many things. But friendship actually makes it more tangible. If God is friendship, then he offers us the gift of friendship and he encourages us to offer the gift of friendship to others as well.
Yes. So it helps us to re-understand God's relationship with us as well.
Absolutely.
So it is actually a friendship, albeit a friendship with the Almighty God. I'm not going to pat his back and say good on you, mate.
Yes, the reciprocity still doesn't quite work as well.
Right.
We get a lot more benefits.
Well, I've personally benefited from this research and I'm looking forward to the Caramartin School of Friendship opening up in the various cities around Australia.
Oh, great. That's a little scary.
we can talk about that during the week. Always good to talk to you, Cara.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Cara Martin. Tonight, our resident scholar on friendship.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.